Welcome back, everyone. We're diving into a case today that should have alarm bells ringing for anyone working in a regulated industry, especially those of you dealing with compliance. It all comes down to what happens when doing the right thing gets you fired. Can a compliance officer, can they actually be terminated just because they object to illegal activity that's happening right under their noses?
It really cuts to the chase of employer power versus, the public interest.
Right, right.
And this is exactly what we saw play out in Sullivan v. Harness, which actually went all the way up to the New York Court of Appeals. So, it's a big one.
Okay, so let's set the scene here a little bit. We're talking about New York, which is an at-will employment state. So what does that even mean for someone listening, like in practical terms?
So basically, at-will employment in New York means that an employer can generally fire an employee for pretty much any reason or even no reason at all, as long as it's not discriminatory, of course.
Right, right, of course.
Think back to the case of Murphy v. American Home Products that really solidified the this whole at-will doctrine in New York.
But there are some exceptions to this rule, right?
Right.
And this is where things get really interesting with a case called Weider v. Scala. That involved a lawyer who couldn't be fired for essentially following the rules, am I right?
Exactly. That's the one. The court in Weider basically said a lawyer's ethical and legal duties, they have to uphold those standards, even if it means going against what their employer wants. They can't be fired for refusing to do something shady or, flat out illegal.
Right. Makes sense. I mean, you can't have lawyers being pressured to bend the rules. The whole system would just fall apart.
Exactly. Exactly. And this is where it starts to connect to compliance officers. They're also in this position, right, where they're supposed to be the ones upholding the law and ethical standards within their company. So the question in Sullivan v. Harness is, do they get that same level of protection that lawyers get?
All right, so let's talk about our main player in this case, Joseph Sullivan. So tell me about him. What's his story? What's the company he worked for all about?
All right, so Joseph Sullivan worked for Peconic Partners, and they're a hedge fund. But here's the kicker. He wasn't just any employee.
Okay.
He was a 15% partner, the COO, the treasurer, and the chief compliance officer.
Wow, wearing a lot of hats there. So a lot of responsibility on his shoulders.
Absolutely. And that's actually going to become a really critical factor in how the court decided this case.
Okay, so I'm hooked. Tell me, what was the illegal activity that Sullivan objected to? Like, what was going on?
Okay, so all revolves around allegations of front running. So imagine you've got some inside information, right? A stock is about to jump in value, but it's not public knowledge yet. And then you go and buy a ton of that stock before everyone else knows, before the news breaks, and then boom, huge profit when the price shoots up. That's front running, and it's totally illegal.
So it sounds like Sullivan was trying to stop someone from making a quick buck at the expense of, everyone else.
That's exactly it.
Who was he trying to stop?
He was objecting to trades made by, none other than William Harnish himself, the majority owner of Peconic Partners.
Oh, this is getting good. You've got Sullivan, the compliance officer, going up against the big boss, Harnish. What happened next? Did Harnish back down?
Well, not exactly.
What do you mean?
Sullivan ends up getting fired.
No way.
And get this, the timing of it all is super suspicious. It all happens right after he objects to these trades by Harnish, and after Sullivan's own lawyer starts asking some pointed questions about a potential plan to, dilute Sullivan's ownership stake in the company.
Wait a minute. So the timing seems like way more than just a coincidence. It sounds like he was just trying to do his job, protect himself and other investors, and he basically gets punished for it.
That's the argument that Sullivan's lawyers took to court.
Okay, so what did the court say? Did they side with Sullivan?
Unfortunately for Sullivan, the majority on the New York Court of Appeals said nope.
Seriously. They said it was okay to fire a compliance officer just for doing their job.
Well, it's a bit more nuanced than that. They basically says that unlike lawyers who have very clear ethical rules, a compliance officer's duties are, they're set by their employer.
So the company gets to decide what compliance actually means.
Right.
So what if the company decides that compliance is just looking the other way when the boss does something shady? Is the compliance officer just stuck?
Well, the court was really worried about setting a precedent that would just undermine the whole idea of at-will employment in New York. They basically said if lawmakers wanted to create special protections for compliance officers, they could pass a law, but that it wasn't the court's place to do that.
That's kind of a cop-out, isn't it?
It's debatable, but that's how the majority saw it. But here's where it gets really interesting. There was a pretty fiery dissent in this case.
Oh, I was hoping you were going to say that. So what did the dissent have to say about all of this?
The dissent, written by Chief Judge Lippman, basically argued that the majority was missing the bigger picture. He said that compliance officers, especially after the 2008 financial crisis, are kind of like gatekeepers, protecting the public against all kinds of fraud and abuse.
Makes sense to me. I mean, if you can't trust the person whose job it is to ensure compliance, then who can you trust?
Exactly.
So what did Lippmann think it could happen?
Lippmann argued that the same logic the court applied in the Weider case to protect lawyers, it should also extend to any role where there's that self-regulation element, you know, where someone's job is to make sure things are being done by the book.
Okay, so like anyone whose job it is to make sure their company's playing by the rules, they deserve this extra protection.
You got it. He was making a much broader argument, a point about the public interest in protecting those who speak out, regardless of their specific job title. He was concerned that the majority's decision could have a real chilling effect on whistleblowing in every industry.
So he's saying this case goes way beyond just one guy losing his job.
Absolutely. He saw this as like this potentially really dangerous precedent that could actually end up making future financial scandals more likely, not less.
Wow. Okay, so we got this split decision with some pretty serious implications. So what does it all mean for someone listening to this right now?
This case is a wake-up call, especially for compliance professionals or anyone working with them.
So what should people be taking away from this? What do they need to know to protect themselves?
One of the most important things is understanding how powerful a well-drafted employment agreement can be. The court even explicitly said that parties can contract around the at-will employment doctrine.
So if you're a compliance officer, you need to make sure your contract clearly spells out exactly what you're responsible for, who you report to, and most importantly, the conditions under which you can be fired.
Exactly. You want to make sure there's something in there that protects you if you're ever forced to choose between, you know, keeping your job and doing the right thing.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. So before we dive into all of the practical implications for, well, both employers and employees, I want to go back to that dissent for a minute.
Yeah, Chief Judge Lippmann's dissent, you know, it's worth really digging into. It gets at the heart of what's at stake ethically in this whole situation. He argued that the majority was being way too narrow in how they looked at Weider v. Scala.
Right, right. Remind me again, what was at the core of that Weider case?
Okay, so Weider basically said lawyers have this special duty, right? They've got to uphold the law even if their boss tells them to do something else. Lippmann basically said that same logic should protect compliance officers.
Ah, I see. So he's saying compliance officers, just like lawyers, are bound by this, like, higher duty to the public good, not just to their company.
Exactly. He said a certain professions, they just have this built-in ethical obligation that goes way beyond just following orders. You know, it's kind of like a doctor's oath. They have to put a patient first, even if a hospital administrator tells them otherwise.
Yeah, yeah, that's a really good point. So Lippmann's view is that compliance officers, they shouldn't be punished for doing what's right, even if it means, you know, blowing the whistle on their own company.
That's exactly it. He really felt that protecting compliance officers who speak out, it's not just about protecting them as individuals, it's about protecting the whole system.
Because if no one's willing to speak up, then the people in charge, they can basically get away with anything.
Exactly. I mean, think about it. If compliance officers are afraid to say anything, who's going to stop the next Enron, right? We've seen what happens when people in power, they just get to do whatever they want with no oversight.
It's a scary thought. So Lippmann saw this decision, the majority decision, as like a really bad precedent, right? Something that could trickle down and have a negative impact on all sorts of industries.
Absolutely. He was really worried about how this could discourage whistleblowing. You know, if compliance officers know they could be fired for raising concerns, they might just stay silent. And that's a huge problem.
So Lippmann's dissent, it sounds like it was more than just a legal argument. It was like a really passionate statement about needing a more ethical and accountable approach to, well, to how businesses operate.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. He was deeply concerned about what message this decision sent, not just to compliance officers, but to everyone who sees wrongdoing happening. It's like the court is saying, speak up if you see something wrong. But then in the same breath, they're saying, but be prepared to get fired for it.
That's tough. So how did the majority respond to all of this? Did they even acknowledge Lippmann's concerns about whistleblowing and future scandals?
They did say that, yes, compliance is important and, yeah, preventing fraud is in the public interest, but they just didn't think creating this new exception to the at-will employment rule was the right way to go.
So were they basically saying this is for the lawmakers to decide, not the courts?
Exactly. Their view is that if lawmakers wanted to give compliance officers special protection, they could, you know, pass a law. But the court shouldn't just create those protections out of nowhere. They saw it as overstepping their boundaries.
I get it from a legal perspective, but it still feels like they were kind of dodging the issue a bit.
Yeah, there's definitely a valid argument that the court could have been more, you know, more bold in how they interpreted the law, especially given how consequential this decision could be.
So we've got this back and forth, right? The majority focusing on the legal nitty-gritty and then the dissent taking this broader perspective, thinking about the ethical and societal impacts, what does all this mean for, you know, the average person who's not a lawyer? What are the key takeaways from Sullivan v. Harness?
I think the biggest takeaway is that this case exposes the real gray areas in employment law, you know, especially in a state like New York with at-will employment. It shows how even if you think you're doing the right thing, you could still end up in a really tricky spot.
Okay, so what can our listeners actually do to protect themselves? Especially if they're in a job where they might be asked to compromise their ethics, what should they do?
It all comes down to knowledge. The more you understand your rights, you know, and the risks involved, the better you can handle these situations.
So concretely, what steps can our listeners take? Like, what are the action items here?
The most important thing, understand the laws of your state. If you're in an at-will state, you have to know that your employer has a lot of power when it comes to firing you. But like the court said in Sullivan v. Harness, you can negotiate for specific protections in your employment contract.
So if you're a compliance officer or anyone who might face tough ethical choices at work, what should they be looking for in their contract? What are the red flags?
That's a great question. First thing, look closely in the part that spells out your responsibilities. Make sure it's super clear what's expected of you and who you answer to. You know, who's your boss? What do you do if you have concerns about something going on in the company?
So basically, get it in writing. Don't just rely on what people say.
You got it. And don't be afraid to push back if something doesn't sit right with you. Remember, when you're negotiating your contract, that's your time to advocate for yourself.
Okay, what else should our listeners be on the lookout for?
Pay close attention to the part that covers how you can be fired. Does it list specific reasons? Is there anything in there that protects you from being fired for whistleblowing?
So don't assume you're automatically protected. Make sure it's actually in the contract.
Exactly. And if there's something in your contract that you're just not sure about, don't hesitate to talk to a lawyer. A good employment lawyer can make sure you know your rights and help you negotiate a better deal.
Solid advice. Be proactive, know your rights, and get everything in writing.
Absolutely. Don't wait till you're in a crisis to start thinking about this stuff. Being prepared and informed can really make all the difference for you and your career.
That's good advice for anyone, really, no matter what job they have. But let's take a step back for a minute. We've been focusing on how this case affects individuals. But Sullivan v. Harness, it raises some bigger questions, too, about the role of compliance in society, right?
Yeah, you're right. This case really makes us think about the tension between how much power employers have and what's in the public interest.
Because on the one hand, businesses are supposed to be successful and create jobs, but they also have to operate ethically.
Right.
And responsibly.
Exactly. That's where compliance officers come in. They're supposed to be the ones making sure the company is following the law and doing things the right way. But Sullivan v. Harness, it shows us that their job is not always easy.
Especially when they're up against powerful people who care more about making money than doing the right thing.
Exactly. And that's why we need strong legal protections for whistleblowers. We have to create a system where people feel safe speaking up when they see something wrong and know they won't be punished for it.
So in a way, this case is a reminder that we all have a responsibility to speak up when we see something wrong, right? Not just in our own jobs, but everywhere.
I couldn't agree more. It's about building a culture where doing the right thing is valued and rewarded, not punished.
And where people in power are held accountable. Okay, we've covered a lot here. Legal arguments, what this means for people, the bigger questions this case raises for society. But before we wrap up, I want to go back to what you were saying about being proactive. What are some resources that are out there for people who are facing ethical dilemmas at work?
Great question. There are a lot of organizations that support and guide whistleblowers. They offer legal resources and advocacy, too.
So give us some examples. What organizations should people know about?
The National Whistleblower Center is a great one. They provide legal info, support, advocacy for whistleblowers in all sorts of industries. And then there's the Government Accountability Project. They focus on whistleblowers who expose wrongdoing in the government and in corporations.
So if someone is feeling pressured to do something unethical, illegal, they can reach out to these groups for help.
Exactly. Don't just keep it to yourself. There are people out there who can help you understand your rights and deal with these tough situations. And remember, you're not alone. There are tons of people who've been in your shoes. And by speaking up, you can make things better for everyone.
That's a great message. So before we wrap things up, what's the one thing you want our listeners to take away from our deep dive into Sullivan v. Harness?
I think the most important takeaway is we all have a responsibility to speak up when we see something wrong. It doesn't matter if you're a compliant officer, a lawyer, or just someone who wants to do the right thing, your voice matters. And yeah, there might be risks, but making a difference for yourself and for everyone, that's what matters.
That's a great note to end on. It's easy to get caught up in the legal stuff with a case like this, you know. But we're talking about people, real people, who have to make really tough decisions. So what advice would you give to someone who's in kind of a similar situation as Olivan? They see something going on that's not right, but they're scared to speak up because they don't want to lose their job.
It's a tough spot to be in, for sure. And it happens a lot more than people think. First thing I'd say is don't freak out. Take a minute. Think it through.
Okay, so what's the first step? What should they do if they suspect illegal stuff is happening?
Write it all down. Seriously, document everything. Dates, times, names, exactly what you saw, any conversations you had about it. Keep a record.
So, like, create a paper trail just in case they need to prove what happened.
Exactly. If you have solid evidence, it makes it a lot harder for your employer to retaliate.
Okay, what about going straight to HR? Or to someone higher up in the company? Good idea, bad idea?
It really depends on the company and your specific situation. If you think your concerns will be taken serious and, you know, they'll actually investigate, then yeah, internal channels could be an option. But
it's always a but, right?
Right. If you think they'll just sweep it under the rug or, even worse, punish you for saying something, then you might want to think about other ways to go.
Like what? What other options are out there?
This is where talking to a lawyer early on can be super helpful. A good employment lawyer can look at the situation with you, help you understand your rights, and figure out the best way to handle it.
So having a lawyer can not only protect you legally, but also maybe make your employer think twice about doing anything shady.
Exactly. Sometimes just knowing you've got legal representation, that's enough to stop them from doing something stupid.
Okay, document everything. And if you're not sure what to do, talk to a lawyer. Anything else? What other advice would you give?
Remember, you're not alone in this. There are organizations out there that are like specifically designed to help whistleblowers.
You mentioned a couple earlier, like the National Whistleblower Center and the Government Accountability Project, right? Don't they also provide emotional support too, not just legal help?
That's right. They get what you're going through and they can put you in touch with other people who've been there. Sometimes just knowing you're not alone, that can make a huge difference.
It makes sense. Strength in numbers, right? It's easier to stand up for what's right when you know you've got people behind you.
For sure. And yeah, it can be scary, overwhelming, but speaking up, it can have a ripple effect, you know? It can impact way more than just your own situation.
How so? What do you mean?
By exposing what's going on, you might stop other people from getting hurt, you know, or protect the company, or even spark bigger changes that benefit everyone.
So it's not just about you. It's about standing up for what's right, even if there's a personal cost.
Exactly. It's about having the courage to do the right thing, even when it's tough.
And Sullivan v. Harnish really shows us that doing the right thing isn't always easy, and it doesn't always work out the way you want it to.
That's true. But even though Sullivan didn't win his case, what he did started a really important conversation about how we treat compliance officers and whistleblowers.
And that conversation's still going on. Cases like this force us to think about some uncomfortable things about our legal system and about society in general. Like, they make us question, you know, who really has the power, how important are ethics, and what role do we all play in making things more fair and just?
Yeah, it's about remembering that the law, it's more than just rules. It's a reflection of what we value as a society. And cases like this, they can push us to make things better.
They can inspire us to fight for better laws, stronger protections, and a culture where integrity actually means something.
Well said. And that's really what we should all be aiming for.
Absolutely. And on that note, we'll wrap up our deep dive into Sullivan v. Harnish. We hope this was helpful, made you think, and maybe even left you feeling empowered. Remember, knowledge is power. And by understanding your rights and speaking up for what's right, you can make a real difference.
And if you want to learn more about whistleblowing, employment law, or all the ethical stuff that comes with compliance work, check out those resources we mentioned. There's a ton of information out there, and we're all in this together. A CAAIR.